Well, that's one from the archives. I haven't sung that for a while. Well, God bless you. It's good to see you all this evening, Wednesday night. I always call it family night. Welcome to family night. It's just, for me, Wednesdays is just like sitting around the kitchen table and just talking about the Lord. So God bless you. It's good to have you here. And those joining us online, God bless you as well. Good to have you with us. Last Wednesday, I sang a song. I got crickets. But then we slowly caught on. Ready to Leave. I want to try it again tonight, get you guys to learn some of the songs that I know. So we'll give it a go. I have it in the key of G. Some folks are building hopes down here and planning ahead, so busy with their fortunes, forgot what Jesus said. There's a group of people getting ready to leave, oh, ready to leave in a twinkling of an eye, making investments in the bank up in the sky. Happy preparation, not a reason to grieve. Are you in that number getting ready to leave? Sinner, what's the reason for your needless delay? While we're hesitating, Christ could come just any day. Heed the Spirit's calling, make your way, Calvary, and get in that number, getting ready to leave, oh, ready to leave in a twinkling of an eye, making investments in the bank up in the sky. Happy preparation, not a reason to grieve. Oh, are you in that number, getting ready to leave? Oh, ready to leave in a twinkling of an eye, making investments in the bank up in the sky. Happy preparation, not a reason. Ready to leave, oh, ready to leave in a twinkling.
I've been changed. I've been reborn. Well, I've been to the water and I've been baptized. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Well, I've been changed from this creature that I once was, and redeemed is now my name. Well,
my life, praise God, has been changed.
Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're changed? Changed from that old creature to a new creature. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to go to prayer this time. And if you could just play that song, Heal Me, O Lord, and I'll Be Healed. We want to pray for Brother Keith tonight. He's here. He's playing. But he's not feeling well. So we just want to pray the Lord would just come in a special way and just touch his body. And Brother Wellington, if you could come, brother, and just open the service in prayer. We want to remember Sister Megan's father as well tonight, having to go for more tests. Brother Matt Cross, lift him up tonight. Brother Sam Britton is having to work, so just want to remember him. And little Emerin, John, she's got allergies, so just ask them we remember her in prayer. Sister Shirley, she's got a really bad ear infection. And Rebecca Ivey's in Virginia. I think the Ivies themselves, mom and dad, are in France, so just want to pray for them. McCafferty's there away as well. And let's continue to remember Sister Connie Hughes in prayer, in our prayer this evening. Amen. If you have a need, just raise your hand as we go to our Heavenly Father. Brother Wellington, if you'd come.
Let us pray. Gracious Lord, our Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord. We appreciate you, dear Heavenly Father, from the bottom of our hearts, Lord. As we gather in thine house this evening, Lord, we know very well that's not by mighty nor by power. It is by your love and your grace that you have extended to us, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we know many of us have been busy throughout the day, Father, but Lord, you gave us the anointing to lay aside everything and come into your sanctuary, dear Heavenly Father. And we remember, Lord God Almighty, in the Old Testament, you would say, if people gather in the place where you choose put your holy name, Father, you will attend to them, you will attend to their situations, you attend to their needs, Lord. We are rest assured, Father God, that we are not gathering here by ourselves, Father. We know, Lord God Almighty, you've got the spiritual food that we so need this evening, Lord. And as we approach, Father God, thy throne of mercy, may thine Holy Spirit descend, be amongst us, Lord. May it anoint our preacher, dear Heavenly Father. Give him the words of life, words of rebuke, words of correction, words of exhortation, that, Lord, we be better people through the preaching of the gospel, Father. Just as you said through Brother Branham, that the preaching of the gospel cast away devils. May you cast away all sin and unbelief, Father. Pardon our iniquity and transgressions, Lord. And let the token be upon us this evening so that you pass over us, dear Heavenly Father. Lord God Almighty, because we have got this opportunity to come in prayer, we lift up our knees unto your holy hands, Father. When we look at the list, when we remember each and every one of these requests, Lord, we are overwhelmed. But we thank you, Lord God Almighty, because with thee, Lord, nothing is impossible, Father. Lord, of all ages, Father, we pray for Brother Keith. Like our pastor announced that, Lord, we need a breakthrough from you, Father. May you intervene and shame the devil, Lord, that your glory, praise, and honor be given unto you and you alone, Father. We lift up Sister Connie Hughes this evening, Lord. We have got Sister Tina, Lord. We remember Sister Carrie, Lord, our Father. May all those situations, Father God, be attended by you and you alone, Father. Because it's only you and you alone who can help us when we are needing, we are helpless, Father. Many other requests, Lord God Almighty, in our midst. Spiritual requests, financial requests, material requests, Lord God Almighty. We lift up everything unto you, Lord. Father God, we've got some saints who were longing to be here, Father, but they got caught up by situations. And wherever they are at, may your mercy and grace be upon them, Lord. Those that are streaming, Lord God Almighty, may you minister to them as well, dear Heavenly Father. After this, Lord, service, Father God, may our hearts be burning, Lord. May we be yearning to walk closer and closer to you, Father. Help us, Lord God Almighty, through this evening, Father. We commit everything into your holy sacred hands. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Let's sing that as you're playing it. D. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. You are the one I praise. Yes, you are the one I praise. When the brothers come, we'll take up the offering.
Again, to be able to come to your house this evening. Father, we just take the service before you, ask you to be with the minister. Lord, be with him as he brings the word. Speak to our hearts and draw us closer to you, Father. Lord, we ask you to be with this part of our worship, be with the gift and the giver and the intended purpose. We thank you, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
So get ready to turn the service to Brother Barry as he would come. Let's sing. Song that's kind of become our theme song of this church is My Hope is in the Lord. Keep G. My hope is in the Lord from this time on and evermore. Oh, my hope is in the standing on within the presence of the Lord, in whom the wisdom of the ages lies, for whom the raging of the sea subsides, the living sacrifice, the only soul. His tender mercies come with every rising sun to meet the sinner in his brokenness, to offer healing and forgiveness, and those who trust in him. tender mercies come with every rise. Sing, son, to meet the sinner in his brokenness, to offer healing and forgiveness. And those who trust in him will find their heart.
Like you mean it, the musicians are playing like they mean it. Let's pray like we mean it too. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have to be able to gather in your house, in your name, under the banner of the token. Your prophet taught us, Lord, every time we pray, we should present the token with our prayers and believe, Lord, that there's a measure of protection and safety, Lord, in that divine act. And so in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that you would just look at us, Lord, through that sacrifice. And I pray that you would bless our time together tonight. Help us as we study your word. And Lord, may you just do a continual work in our hearts in enriching us, changing us, and molding us, Lord, for the kingdom ahead. We love you. We ask your blessing upon the reading of the word, that it might be stimulation to us and it might be revelation, Lord, in our hearts. Come, I pray, on the scene and minister to those who are sick and needy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Why don't you take your Bible while you're standing and let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It will not be on the screen tonight. We're going to have to look at our Bibles tonight first because we're going PowerPointless. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So let's take that off there, if you will. And 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, we're going to look there tonight. We welcome all of you to the house of the Lord. One verse, 21. When you got it, say amen. Amen. Prove all things and hold fast that which is good. May the Lord add his blessing. You may be seated. I appreciate all of you being here tonight. I know it's Wednesday night, and I know what that means. And I wanted to just make a couple of quick comments here tonight before we move forward. First of all, I wanted to tell you from Brother Sven's perspective how he encountered our church. And he was really blessed beyond measure. And I told him, I said, I really enjoyed the whole weekend, the fellowship he and I had, having him in our house, you know, the fellowship we had with him and the others, you know, in the church and so forth. And he said, and the ministry. And he said, no. He said, I got way more out of this than what I gave you. And by that, he meant that he was observing continually how we did things. He wanted to see how we did the song service, how we took up offerings. He asked about communion. He asked about, you know, different situations. And all pastors, especially younger pastors, they always have lots of questions about pastoral issues. That's very, very normal. And I had them when I was younger. And so he really enjoyed his time, and he really enjoyed the day Sunday. And he asked me to thank you specifically and personally for the warm reception and the hospitality and everything else. And he was just really blessed beyond measure. And we had a very profitable meeting together at Vision Books. And that's the first time he's ever been in contact with anyone in Vision Books except me. And so it was really great. And he's just very proficient in technology and AI and printing, advanced printing technologies. And he just brought to the table some really great assets for us in Vision Books. So it was really good. Now, but what was interesting was, is that, you know, he made two observations. One was he said, I came to realize towards the end of my visit that outside of the pulpit, he said, your people have a very strange sense of humor. He said, the brothers said things with a straight face, and I never knew whether they were saying something serious or not. And I said, I know, Brother Sven, I don't know where they got that, but I said, I've been working on it, and I said, I don't know where they got it, but I'm working on it. That's what I said. But the second thing was the deacons. And he was amazed at our deacons. He thought they were the best team of deacons he'd ever seen in his life. And, I agree with him, and I think we have a wonderful team of deacons. But here's what happened. Sunday morning, Brother Sven came to the church. That was the first time any of our deacons ever got to meet Brother Sven. Because he was here Saturday night, but there were no deacons here. So Brother Sven came with me to church Sunday morning, and we were in my office. And so none of the deacons had ever seen him before. So Brother Burley and I were talking in there, and our musicians and everything else. Well, Brother Sven had enough of that, and he said, listen, he said, I'm going to go around and come into the church and sit down because I want to see the song service, and I want to listen to your songs and your music and record it and so forth. So he just absolutely loved the worship and the music. So I said, well, if you like, that's fine. I said, you can go. I said, if you go out through that door, everyone's going to look at you. But if you go out the other door and go around, you can just slip in the back. So come here for a sec. Come here. Yeah, you. So he comes in the front door. Brother Tom doesn't know him. And he told me, he said, that older deacon, he said, he came up to me and he did this. He said, good morning, young man. Now, Brother Tom doesn't know he's the preacher, right? So he says, good morning, young man. How are you? Because he's got a knapsack, right? Brother Sven has a knapsack. And a knapsack's a trigger to a deacon, right? So he's, how are you, young man? Good to have you today. Can we help? And he patted him down the whole time he was talking to him. He was certain he had no weapons. He had nothing destructive there. Okay. And Bruce Sven said, I knew what he was doing, but he said, I still felt really welcome. And he said, that's the way those deacons operated the whole time. He said, Are they military or are they police? Or I said, it's a long story. Sit down. Let me tell you about those brothers. And so I was, giving them an update on who they were and their backgrounds and so forth. I said, the chief, fire chief's there and different firemen and so forth. But Tom's an ex-military. Oh, yeah, he had no problem with that. But he didn't feel bad at all. He felt really good. He said, these fellows had control of that, but they were not intimidating. And it was a real compliment. He just really appreciated the deacons and the work that they did. So he had several other observations, but I thought that was funny. And he told me, he said, pass that on, he said to the people. He said it was just really good. And then the other thing that I needed to explain to you was when we were up in Blowing Rock on Friday night and the Harwells joined us and we were talking about the phrase, bless his heart. And he thought that was really interesting because he knew that if he said bless his heart, he could say anything he wanted to about anybody. So that's why he used bless his heart here in the pulpit at least once. And then up in Blowing Rock, there was a book in the window of a shop up there. There was a book called Bless His Heart. And it explained, you know, the concept of bless his heart. I said, this is a serious thing. And so he loved the phrase because, like I say, it gave him permission all over the place. So it was really good. But he's home, and he told me this morning he's back and safe and resting. And so, he was very thankful for the hospitality that he felt. I also, too... you know, sometimes we think of Norwegians as, you know, very straight and serious and, you know, black and white. And most of them are. But Brother Sven is just down to earth. He's just a real brother, and he's just very humble in his way, and I love that about him. I wanted to mention another thing here in relation to the Middle East, and this is not a political comment because I have no interest in bringing a political comment, but just to say that it's very interesting to see the developments there. Every day is something different, and you know, there's a lot of things that are percolating through the media and tainted in one way or another. I doubt if any of us in any form of media are getting the straight story, but it's interesting to see things develop, and it is important to us because it is in the Middle East and happening. Israel is certainly involved, and it was interesting that before the war, there were two things that the world was concerned about. And number one was that Iran was a state sponsor of terror around the world, and nobody in the world liked that. So Hezbollah exists because of Iran, and the struggle in Gaza existed because of Iran. And so that was a problem, and it was a good thing to try to put an end to that. The second issue was the possibility that Iran could become a nuclear power. In some way, eliminating or minimizing that threat is certainly a good thing, because obviously Israel would be its first target. So there was two problems prior to the war. But lo and behold, we find ourselves now with not any less problems, but we have to add an additional one, which is the Strait of Hormuz. And so there are three things now that are of major concern and affecting the world. And I'll guarantee you it hurts when you go to the gas pump. It'll hurt in months upcoming, because the cost of everything that's shipped to us on a truck, and everything is shipped to us on a truck, is going to cost more, because it costs more to start that truck up and fill it up with diesel. But I will tell you that as bad as it is here in America, it's worse in other countries, especially other countries that are dependent on oil from the Middle East, the Strait of Hormuz. And so that is not resolved, and it's certainly something that is going to be ongoing as a problem laying ahead of us. Now, I want to deal with some things here tonight that's going to be a little bit different. Every one of you should have a sheet like this. It's a two-sided sheet, principles to live by. And I've been doing an extensive reorganization of my files on my computer. And so I was looking up, and I had made a little file a little while ago, a little Word document, which was titled, Don't Ever. Don't Ever. That was the name of the file. And I looked at that, and I began to, just kind of stayed with me. And I began to work with that, and in a sense plug it into this theme that we've been doing here on Wednesday night about principles to live by. And let me give you the first quote that's on the page there in the Church Age book. Brother Branham said that God knew that the way man originally got away from God was by first leaving the Word. And if you leave the Word, you have left God. Thus, he is presenting himself to the church at Pergamos, and indeed to all churches of all ages, and says, I am the Word. If you want deity in your midst, and we do, then welcome and receive the Word. Don't let anyone or anything get between you and that Word. Don't ever. So there's the first instance. Don't ever let anyone or anything get between you and that Word. Now, if you drop down to the first quote there in 48, it's experiences 3. Brother Branham says, I hope you go to church tonight. Go somewhere to church. Don't never miss going to church on Sunday and for the prayer meeting. Prayer meeting, in his reference, is Wednesday night, because very often they had a prayer meeting on Wednesday night. So the reason I wanted to put that one in there is because Brother Branham often said, don't ever do this or do that or something else. But he did more often say, don't never. Okay? Don't never miss church. Don't never do this. Don't ever become a denomination. And so there's 100 and something references to don't ever. There's 333 of don't never. They all mean the same thing, okay? So it's just his way of saying things, and that's how you have to search. So what I wanted to do and what I wanted to bring you to was an introduction to this, which is the COD book. And I don't know if any of you have ever read the COD book or gone through it. It is probably the premier reference book we have of all the sermons of Brother Branham. And the questions took place here over a period between 1953 and 1964 where Brother Branham invited the people to write questions to him about anything they wanted to know or anything he taught that they may misunderstand. There's lots of questions in here, for instance, about Daniel's 70 weeks and things that he said, or about the seals. But there's lots of very practical questions that are really good. Is it okay to wear this versus that? And, you know, what do I do with my husband who doesn't believe the message and so on? And so it's a compilation of about almost 2,000 pages of questions about everyday life. Now, it's been out of print for a little while. I'm trying to get some, and if I can't get enough to be able to give out to you if you don't have the physical book, we're going to print them. That's the nice option we have here. We can print whatever. But over time, we'll get that. If you have one, it'd be great for you to take a look at it because we're going to be drawing from that, and we're going to be dealing with some of the issues that are in it. But you have to also realize that Brother Branham's ministry here to these in these 2,000 pages is 62 years old. And so the things that have happened in our world now are quite different. Or let me say it this way, the things we may have questions about are often different than what these people asked Brother Branham. Now the great thing about it is that he referred back to Scripture here, so he gives us a principle that we can work with, which is really great. And like, for instance, you know, cutting hair. And Brother Branham brought us back to the same scripture all the time and, you know, pointed us to things consistently. And that's really great. So now, you know, if you have a hair question, we're probably going to go back to the same scripture because that's what he pointed to. But there are things, for instance, like in relation to the internet or AI. Or, you know, things that exist today that didn't exist in his day, transgenderism or whatever else. And there are issues that might be unique to you that you've never seen in the COD book or anywhere else in the reading of the message. So I'm inviting you to do two things. Number one is to blow the dust off the book, and if you have it, read it. I'll try to get more copies so we'll have them available. And then secondly, if you have questions that you want to submit, and some people have sent me some questions, and I have all of them, I keep them in a file. We'll eventually pepper those in and answer those as well, because we want to learn, the right way to navigate through the world that we're living in. We're near the end, and so therefore we want to make sure that we're, doing things right. Especially at the end, because the devil loves to get in the details and mess you up on little things, and then that sets up a chain reaction. So we find in the scripture where Paul tells us to prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Now, if you look on your sheet again, in 1948, Brother Branham says, "And at thy word," he says, "Simon, thrust out thy net into the deep." Now, all of these quotes that are on these two pages here have been edited. In other words, I've taken out portions except the direct phrase that we're looking at. Okay, so if you want to see the whole quote, you can look those up on your own. You can search those. So the meaning's not changed. I've just taken maybe a sentence or two out of the paragraph. Okay, so he says, "Simon, thrust your net out into the deep." You remember this when Jesus reappeared to the disciples, and Peter and them said that we've been fishing all night, never caught a thing. And Jesus is standing on the shore, and he says, "Go back out, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught." And he said, that was peculiar. He said, that was odd, because I've already proven there's no fish out there. We fished all night. And he said, here's a test of faith. And I believe that God always puts people through a test of faith, prove all things, and a real Christian enjoys a test of faith. A real Christian enjoys a test of faith. And we're not afraid of those, and God puts us through those things. And so therefore, we want to pay attention to how God helps us to prove the Scripture. So the word prove is important here. It is in the same way in Romans chapter 12, Paul says that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It is the same principle whereby metallurgists take metals and prove their purity. Okay, so if they're making silver, they'll boil that silver and they'll heat it until all the slag and all the impurities rise to the top, and they'll scoop that off and they're making it as pure as possible, and then they'll test it. They'll test it, they'll assay it until they can find it. That's a pure metal. And so the refining and the processing of metals is a tedious process, but you want to have the most pure product at the end of the process. Okay, and this is the same idea, it's the same word, and it doesn't mean that we're going to prove the Scripture one time. It's a continuous, ongoing principle. So whenever something comes your way, somebody quotes you a Scripture, or you find a Scripture, we want to prove it, and we'll come back to it again. Like many of you who have maybe gone to the Scriptures on healing, never went just once, but we find ourselves going back several times. Does God say anything about this? Does the Scripture teach us about this? And we go back and we look at it continually. And it means that when we say we prove all things, it doesn't mean some things and it doesn't mean most things, but it literally means everything passes through the test. Everything passes through the test. And we're going to hold fast to that which is good. And it is like, the word hold fast is like what a sailor does when he's in the storm and he's trying to hold on to the ropes that hold a sail. Now, when a sailor is tacking back and forth like we've done before, we've talked about before, and he's going back and forth, and he's got to hold that sail, but he's got to let it out enough that the wind catches it, and he rides the wind, he rides that that wave, but he's got to make sure he either puts a proper knot at the end of that rope or he's got to hold it. But it's got to be firm, because if the wind takes that, he loses all forward thrust. And so therefore, if he's going to hold it, he's got to be really firm and he's got to be really tight. That's the word that Paul uses here. You want to hold fast that which is pure, that which is beautiful, that which is genuinely excellent. You want to hold fast to everything that is worth treasuring. You want to hold fast to everything that is worth treasuring. That's what it means. So we want to hold fast to that which is good. And when you find something that's worth treasuring, you want to hold on to that tight. Right? I remember this. There came a point in my relationship with Sister Becky, before we were married and before we were engaged, that if some other guy came around, I would have messed him up. I would have hurt him, right? It wasn't always that way, but there came a point where if some other dude showed up in Virginia, I was in Canada, and some guy came knocking on her door, I'd be down there. And like, hey, can I see you in the backyard? And it wouldn't have mattered, because you want to hang on to it. You don't want to let that go. There comes a point where you don't want to let that go. You understand what I'm saying? It's a thing that you're willing to fight to the death for it. You're willing to hold on very tightly to that, and you don't want to let it go. And so this is the kind of thing that God's expecting us to do, is to prove all things. Between verse 16 and verse 22, you'll find these short bursts of commandments that God gives. And he's exhorting with precision here. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Those are all sermons in themselves, they're principles in themselves. And in the middle of that, he's saying, prove all things and hold fast that which is good. And so we want to learn to do that with all of our heart, okay? Now, we find, as you look at your sheet here, principles to live by. Brother Branham says, in trying to do God a service, he says, don't never start or try an organization. He said, the moment you organize, that very hour you die. That's what he said. The moment you form an organization, he said, that hour you die, spiritually speaking. In other words, the Holy Spirit will leave you whenever you do that. Whenever you set up a hierarchy and you have, a kingdom and you have somebody on top of it and you put a period at the end of your beliefs and all of that and you begin to organize like organizations do today, he said that very hour, that's where the Holy Spirit takes his flight. So Brother Branham has a very similar set of statements that you can find in the message very easily, just like Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And what you want to do is prove those things, whether they're actually true or not, and hold fast to them. Okay, if they're true, hold fast. If they're true, you want to embrace them and you don't want to let them go. Brother Branham says in 1950 there, Moses is the name of the sermon. Maybe there's some of you that do not understand. Frankly, there's much of it that I don't understand, things that he's teaching. I just accept it. Don't never try to figure God out. God is not understood by knowledge. He's understood by faith. How many of you have ever heard something or come across something that you didn't understand intellectually, but in time, God would reveal it to you? And, you know, hey, not a mystery to us, right? Not a mystery anymore. And God does that. But when you try to sit down and logically figure it out, when you go to AI and say, I need the answer to that mystery, let me tell you, you'll probably never find it that way. You'll probably never find it that way. Now, so let's look at a few of these. In experiences, Brother Bram says, now the first time that name, Jesus, was ever spoken by mortal lips, it went into the ears of a mortal, Elizabeth, and a dead baby in the mother leaped for joy. That was John the Baptist. She enjoyed no movement of the baby at all until she heard the name Jesus. And if it'll make a dead person leap for joy, what will it do for someone who's already alive? He said, always be just as quiet. Many things upon this gift have increased, and he's talking about his own ministry. He said, I've learned things, I've learned over this past year, and as we go on, it'll keep moving on and on. Don't ever come to God in a hurry. Don't ever come to God in a hurry. Don't say, all right, Lord, I need an answer right now, today, by the end of business today, I need an answer. Don't do that to God. He doesn't like that at all. Now, he says in the next one, questions and answers number 4, he said, I'm not trying to tell anyone where not to go. He's talking about his move. This is questions and answers 1964, and he's talking about going to Arizona. Now, that's an unusual circumstance because God tells him when he's in Jeffersonville, I'm not going to bless you anymore as long as you're here. God makes that statement to Brother Branham. I'm not going to bless you anymore here. He says, I want you to go west. So here's Brother Branham sitting there thinking, okay, I have to go west. I don't know where. There's no churches out there. I don't have any idea where I'm supposed to go. Listen to this. Brother Branham has this unusual circumstance where Sister Meadie's mother is old and needs care. So Sister Meadie was very attentive to her mother in Jeffersonville. And so she did not really want to leave her mother and go west. That was the last, I mean, she'd be that far away from her mother, and her mother needed her help back in Jeffersonville. Brother Branham, though, knew intimately the cost of obeying or changing your plans because of your mother-in-law. You remember, he lost his first wife and daughter because he listened to his mother-in-law. So he's sitting there thinking, do I let the circumstances related to my mother-in-law hold me here and go in my time? Like either somehow move her or wait till she passes away, or what should I do? Or should I just obey God and have to deal with all the other? I mean, that's not a trivial question. That's not a trivial issue. And I don't know how many other siblings Sister Meadie had, but that's not a trivial thing because she was like a caregiver. That was her nature to care for somebody like that, and she was very concerned about her mother. And so Brother Branham said one day he was sitting on the front or the back step of his house. He's mowing his lawn, took a break, and he said, I was just sitting there by myself, and he said, I sit here as an orphan because I don't know which way to go. And he said, very often you can ask me to ask God and God will tell you right away. But he said, when I ask God, he lets me sit and wait. So he did not have that instant access to God very often at all. And so he said, I'm sitting here like an orphan. In other words, like I have nobody to turn to. I have nobody to, who would care for me. And he said, he wasn't complaining. He was just saying, that's how I feel. And he's sitting on the back step and so forth. And God told him, I'm not going to bless you anymore until you go west. Wow. You know the story eventually. And he saw the vision, member of the wagon. And he and Sister Meteor are sitting there. And he's got the reins. And she's got the big bonnet on, you know, going west. And they're heading and they're heading towards the setting of the sun. So he knew they were heading west in the vision. And he said, Sister Meanie, we got to go. And so they went. And then very soon after they went, Sister Meanie's mother passed away. So the problem in that sense was taken care of. She didn't feel bad for being out in Arizona. And so the situation that Brother Branham finds himself in here, he's explaining that in 1964 here in Questions and Answers. And he said, now, people were asking him, like, Brother Branham, if you're going to Arizona, like, shouldn't we go? Because you're our pastor and we believe you to be a prophet. So that was the issue here in Questions and Answers. Shouldn't we all go? And he says, I'm not trying to tell anybody where to go. He says, I'm a rambler. Don't never become a rambler. Don't you be like that. He said, find some place you love and settle down and wait for the Lord Jesus. Find a post of duty. Find a place that you can call home and pay your tithes, take communion, be a part of that assembly, and contribute all you can to that assembly. Get behind the work, get in the vision of that particular church here. But it'll do nobody any good to be a part of this one, then go to that one, and then go to this one over here. You know why? Because a tree you keep moving around does not ever put down roots. And you grow because of where your roots are. And so this is what Brother Bram's telling the people. So God's, now, and you have to understand, God's dealing with him as a prophet. He doesn't deal with us that way. He doesn't deal with me as a pastor that way, because a pastor wouldn't work if he was a rambler and, rolling around different places, different churches. So he says, don't never become a rambler. He said, find someplace you love and settle down. Let's look at another one. God revealing himself to his people. Don't never argue with people. One place he said, don't ever argue. He said, you just stand still and let God do the arguing. I wouldn't argue, wouldn't debate with no one. Look at the year, 1950. This is when the pillar of fire picture is taken over in Houston. And the whole event where that takes place is a debate. Right? That Reverend Best wants to debate Brother who? Who? Bosworth. He wanted to debate Brother Branham. Brother Branham wouldn't debate, so he debates Brother Bosworth Brother Bosworth pleaded with Brother Branham to let him debate. He said, I only have one question for him. That's all. I only have one question. I'm not going to argue. He said, I only have one question. That's all. And, Reverend Best sent out all kinds of advertising and, hyped it all up and so forth. He said, I'm going to pin that man's carcass to a tree and so on and all the rest of it. And it was very disrespectful. But Brother Bram says, I wouldn't argue. I wouldn't debate with no one. I can only state what the truth is. And if you want to believe it, all right. If you don't, there'll be others who'll believe it. He said, it's silly to think you can argue somebody into predestination, right? Or argue somebody into becoming a member of the bride. Obviously you can't do that. He said, so don't ever argue. Don't debate. God's word is not to be fussed over like that, because when you get to arguing with people, you get all steamed up and God's not in it. And that's really true. And those who want to debate, that's their business. Let them have at it. But that shouldn't be ours. Okay, Jesus didn't argue. Brother Branham didn't argue. We shouldn't argue. Do you want to know what the one question was that Brother Bosworth had for Reverend Best? He said, I only have one question for him. He says, God is described in the Old Testament as Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Tsidkenu, and all that. He said, my question is who is that? Who was that a reflection of? Who was that a type of? That was his only question. Because Brother Branham's teaching was the subject of debate that Jesus of the new, Jehovah of the old is Jesus of the new. So there's not three gods, there's one. And so Brother Bosworth had that one question that Jehovah Shalom or Jehovah Jireh in the Old Testament, who is that speaking of? And he asked that question, and Reverend Best got really upset at that because there's no non-Trinitarian answer for that. Next one. Brother Branham said, now this lady was coming forth, and this was in Finland, and he's talking about this healing, and the discernment of this lady was coming forth. Brother Branham named her name, where she was from, and all of that. All at once, I heard her scream, here she come, crutches, braces over her head, running as normal as anybody. And then he said, be humble. Let yourself be the lowest of all, and don't ever exalt yourself. If you do, you're going to become abased. Humble yourself. God will lift you up. Don't figure that God owes you anything. You owe him all. God's not under any obligation to us. We are under obligation to God. So we do everything we do for the glory of God. We do everything so God receives the glory and the honor. And Brother Branham's, that was his motto, and that's the way he lived. And once you get outside of that, God's going to abase you. And I will tell you this, you never need to worry about abasing anyone. If somebody's up here, Brother Branham said, don't you worry about him. God will take care of him. You worry about the guy that's down here. You find somebody who's discouraged and down, low, and help pick him up. Don't worry about these people up here and trying to cut him down. Don't bother with that at all. God will take care of that. Amen. Next one. If you believe me to be God's prophet, he says, sister, if you lay there, watch this. He said, if you lay there, you'll die. The trouble's in your stomach condition. It's very bad, too. Nothing can help you outside of God. And the angel of Almighty God is standing near your cot. And I see your examination by the doctors. He said, they're keeping something back from you. But if you believe Jesus Christ to be your healer, accept him to be so, and will you serve him all the days of your life? Then as a servant of God, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, take up your bed and go home and get well. Don't you fear. You have strength. Don't worry. Rise up and go home. Lady, again I say, to lay there is death. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and don't ever disobey the Spirit of God. Don't ever disobey the Spirit. If this is God, obey it. If it's not God, ignore it. You can ignore it and lay it down. But if it is God, you know what? If God's telling you something, God's leading you to do something, that he said you should pursue it with all your heart. But if you got a doubt, if you have a doubt about something, Brother Branham said, don't do it. If you got a doubt about something, don't do it. Because then you can't do it in faith. But if you know it's God, he said you want to pursue it. Now, on the other side, top one, Brother Branham's telling his life story. And Brother Branham's in a dream, and he says, he's talking about his brother Edward. And they're going down through the family, and his brother Edward had died. And when he died, and this is, you had to read the whole story, you go back to it, you read the whole story. Edward said on his deathbed, Brother Branham was not there, Brother Branham was not a Christian when Edward died, tell Billy that I love him and someday I'll meet him in heaven. That's what he told his family. So tell that to Billy, because Billy wasn't there. Brother Branham's out west. Do you remember that's when he went out and wanted to be a cowboy? Went out west, and he said, I remember a ranger rode up to me in the prairie, and I climbed out of my saddle. And he said, is your name Branham? Yes, sir. He says, is your name William? Yes, sir. And he said, I have a message for you. Your brother Edward died last night. And Brother Branham said, I was standing there looking across the fence, and I could see that handful of popcorn. What does that mean? Brother Branham remembered when him and Edward were going to school as boys years ago, that he said, we were so poor that mom would give us a jar, like a mason jar, and it would have cold beans in it, like pinto beans, something like that. And he said, we didn't eat with the other kids because they were wealthy enough to have sandwiches. So we would take our jar of beans or leftovers, sometimes it'd be just a bottle of greens, and he said, we'd run over the hill, sit on a log and eat that, and then come back where all the other kids were, because they were so ashamed of how poor they were. All the other kids had a bag and they had sandwiches and so forth. And he said, one day, Mama gave us two jars and we had beans in it. And he said, she did up a mess of popcorn. and put it in the bag with the jars. Brother Branham said about halfway through school that morning, he said to the teacher, "Ma'am, can I be dismissed?" And she says, "Yes." He goes back to the cloakroom. Now, you might not remember, but in my day, we had a cloakroom in the back of the school. And that's where we put all our book bags and our coats and our boots and stuff in the winter. It was a room inside the room. It was like a closet. Now, I told you before, years ago, that's where we hid John Palmer when he took the head of the Statue of Mary off with the football. You remember that story? Anybody remember that? We had a guy in our class, John Palmer. He had big ears like that, stuck out. I mean, stuck out a good ways. And John, we were throwing football down the hallway in the elementary school. We were like grade 2, 3, 4. And we lived in sheer terror of the nuns. And you never fooled around with the nuns at all. And so we were throwing the football down the hallway, right? Because it's a nice long stretch. And we're throwing the football back and forth down the hallway. Well, up by our end, and John Palmer's on the other end of the hallway. And just, there's a reason for this. On our end, there was a big statue of Mary in the corner, because we always did devotions to Mary and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that was kind of the centerpiece of the school. And so it's up here. Well, Palmer leans off and throws that ball, and he threw it too high, went over our heads and hit the statue, took the head clean off the statue. You guys are laughing. That was a death sentence to us. We knew it. We knew that Palmer was mince meat. He was shark bait. I mean, this was the end of his life. We thought it was the end of his life. So we took the head and we put it back on the statue and, you know, licked it and tried to get it to stick and put it back there. Palmer was so scared, he was just shaking. He was standing like this. And he shook and shook and shook. He was crying. He was so afraid. We picked him up, we took him, brought him back to the cloakroom, took out the book bags and the boots, put him in the closet, and put all the book bags and boots in there over the top of him so you couldn't see him. And we said, "Look, be quiet. Just be quiet. So when the nuns come, they won't get you, because otherwise you're going to die." So the nun comes down. I mean, a typical reaction. You talk about upset now. And who's responsible for this? Well, like the good friends we were, we all said, "Palmer." But he's not here. He's gone. And so, you know, we're all standing there like, you know, angels. And she's looking for Palmer. And she goes down to the end of the classroom, opens up the door. And you couldn't see Palmer, but you could hear, as he knew he was going to die. She goes over and takes all the bags out, and she grabs him by one of his big ears, and just, we never saw him for about 2 days after that. All right. So, Brother Branham asked permission to leave. She says yes. He goes back to the book room, and he can't see anybody in the book room because the door closes there. Brother Branham goes back and eats all the popcorn. So at lunchtime, Edward never got any. Edward never knew. Edward never found out that there was popcorn in the bag. And Brother Branham had done that, and now Edward is dead. He's still a young man. He's not a Christian. And he's standing there looking over the fence. And Edward's gone. And he says, Brother Branham says, "Don't ever do nothing wrong. It'll come back to you someday, no matter how little it is. Make things right," in other words. Don't have things hanging. Don't ever do anything wrong like that. I thought it was good advice. I was just going to say, this whole series is full of those things. And they're just good pieces of advice. Let's just drop down a little bit. Brother Branham says in expectation, he said, this is the first, the Bible, he's holding up his Bible. This is the first and only foundation for Christian truth in God's Bible. This is the first and only foundation for Christian truth is in God's Bible. It has to come from here. And in other lands, we find out that pagan ideas, superstitions, all kinds of demonology, you have to know what you're talking about, and it depends on who you know. Capital W. But don't ever be scared. Don't ever be afraid. If God sends you, he says, don't ever be afraid. All right, give me a couple of minutes. I want to highlight a couple more for you here. Meanest Man I Know, 1962. Brother Branham says, I've met thousands of them, people who were raised in a church, raised in a good family, and he said they get in tow with a boy or a girl who's not a Christian. And he says, they say, we're in love, they say, this is it, they say, this is the one, all these different things, and their poor little lives are wrecked and ruined, and it isn't always their fault. Don't ever fall for a boy like that, sister. Let him alone. Don't ever, it's a great thing to look up. Don't ever fall for a boy like that. Let him alone. There ain't nothing to him. If he ain't filled with the Holy Ghost, then ... We had a girl in our church some time ago, a pretty little girl. First thing you know, she cut her hair. Now that's against the rules. I thought I might get a little response on that one. I don't care what trends in our society at all. You're not supposed to cut your hair. No woman is supposed to cut your hair. He said that's against the rules. Now the rules he's referring to are the rules laid down by God. It's scripture. That's the rules he's talking about. And when she does that, the Bible said she's a dishonorable woman. Get away from her. Wow. Get away from her. The Bible said a woman cuts her hair is dishonorable. Now that's the word. And if the Holy Ghost is in you and won't cooperate with that, what kind of a Holy Ghost is that? Good question, Brother Branham. The Holy Spirit itself in you makes you live what you are. And if the Holy Spirit disagrees with this word, you call it the Holy Spirit, then it's not the Spirit of God. You got some sort of spirit. Today we have all kinds of spirits. Don't you do that. You come to God sensibly with all the intelligence, holding on to the word, get the Spirit of God, and it'll make you walk right in line with God. Amen, Brother Barry. Amen. That's a great quote. Because he says, the Holy Spirit in itself in you makes you live what you are. Now, what you may not appreciate is that under the umbrella of the Holy Spirit, it brings out what we all are. It manifests everything. The Son manifests everything. Whatever seed is in you, right? So it does not just show the believers, it shows everyone because it's just like the principle in nature. You can put a good seed next to a bad seed in the same soil, water with the same water, let the same sunshine fall on both, and you know what? They're both going to come forth. But they're only going to show what nature they are. So under the presence of the Holy Spirit, there's going to be manifestation. All things will be manifested and show what kind of life is there. And so this is the kind of thing, you know, every single young person in the world never wants to hear, give it a little time and let's watch that boy or let's watch that girl. Give it a little time because you're young, you're 18. You know what? We got time here. Yeah, you're in your 20s. We got time here. It's not the end of the world. It is, but it isn't. And you don't need to do it tomorrow, in other words. Right? Young people don't want to hear that because they feel like, you know, if I wait another day, I can't wait another day. I can't wait another week. And here's Brother Barry talking about waiting a year. Can't do that. I always remember Jim Elliot. You remember Jim Elliot, the pilot? Who married, went down with the Aka Indians and they killed him, you remember? A great Christian and his wife Elizabeth Elliot. And they were courting one another in college over their years, and they were in Bible school and met one another, and they were serious, and they went, you know, they were very serious about one another. And finally, when Elizabeth thought that Jim was going to propose, he came to her one night and he said, "I feel led." He said, "I feel led. If it's all right," he said, "I feel led to wait 5 years. Let's give ourselves 5 years and see if the Lord feels the same way at the end of 5 years." And all the young people said, "You are crazy. You're looking at me like..." And they did. And I will tell you, God honored them in a great way. God blessed them. And they fellowshipped and they communicated all over those 5 years. But they didn't talk about marriage at all. That was their agreement. They didn't talk about marriage. They just said, if, you know, we feel this way now, and if we feel the same way, and God's, you know, urging us to do that in 5 years. But they wanted to make sure that that was the right thing. They wanted to make sure that was God's will, because they knew this was a one-time deal. This is a one-time shot. So we don't want to get it wrong. We want to be right. And the thing that will help us most is time. All right, I'll move on. Brother Branham, in the rapture, 1965, second last quote. He's talking about Uzziah, King Uzziah, tried to take a preacher's place, went in, smitten with leprosy. He said, don't never try to take a preacher's place. You stay right where you're at. You do your work, whatever God told you to do. If you're a finger, you can't be an ear. If you're a foot, you can't be a knee, right? Stay in your position. And that's what Uzziah did. And he felt like that he could do this because he was a king. He was blessed. He was a great man, did great things, and felt like he could take that liberty to move in the place that he wanted to. And he thought, this would be great for me to be able to do this and this. And it was not God's will at all. Because we're never, ever, no matter how blessed we are, no matter how successful we are, no matter how old we are never above the law. We are never above the law. Last one, questions and answers. The Bible said, "Not let not one dirty conversation come among you when you profess holiness." Stop. Now, Brother Bram's talking about marriage here. That's the context. But we can take that statement too, and we can stop right there and talk about young people. We can talk about a bunch of guys together, right? And I remember one time we had a neighbor. And Pete might remember, but this neighbor used to love to come down to our house and just be there for dinner, for tea, you know, evening tea. They loved to come down. And one time she said to us, she was a younger girl and she used to come down with her mother. And she said one time, "We love to come down here. We never told you why, but we love to come down because when you guys get joking and relaxed in your own way and we talk, it doesn't get dirty." She said, in every single conversation in college and in, you know, among my friends, as soon as people start to relax, it goes downhill. It goes negative. It goes pornographic. And she said, we can be here all night and have fun and converse, and it never goes in that direction. And she said that is such a blessing to be able to be in that environment. And so we could easily take this sentence here and we could talk a lot about it, that there should not be dirty conversation. But Brother Bram's talking about marriage here, and this is Questions and Answers 1964. Treat that little lady, your wife, like she's your little sweetheart. And women, live the right way to your husbands. Husbands, live the right way to your wives. Be real nice. Respect one another with your family relations and so forth like that. Let it be just as reverently, godly, agreed with among you, everything as it can be. Let it be agreed with. So in other words, there's not force exerted one way or the other, but he says do it nicely, respectfully, respecting your spouse. With your family relations, let it be as reverent among you with everything as it can be. Don't ever push, shove, be dirty and vulgar. Wow. So we know what he's referring to here. And Brother Branham's given good advice. This is the application of very commonplace things that people experience in their daily life. All I'm introducing you to is the fact that this is full of advice like that and counsel like that, and it's good, it's biblical, it's edifying, and it's good for us to think on these things and to realize that it is a good thing to do. Now, I'm going to give you one last statement. You don't have it on your sheet, and I'll leave it with you. Brother Bram said in a message called God Being Misunderstood, and let's have our musicians just gently slide up to the front. Don't go anywhere. Brother Bram said in God Being Misunderstood, he said, now I got some questions tonight, and the reason we do this, the reason we entertain questions, the reason we invite people to write questions down is to find out what's on the hearts of the people. And he said, I think that's very good for a pastor. Then he finds out just what the people's thinking about, and they'll write their questions out about something. And I think, that's what he said, I think every one of us is duty-bound to express our thoughts to our pastors and our spiritual leaders. Huh. I never knew it was a duty. He said, I think it's every one of us is duty-bound to expel our thoughts to our pastors and our spiritual leaders. And anything we see that we can make everything run smooth and fine for the kingdom of God's sake. Now, I'll tell you what. When you have a legitimate question or concern about something, you're not afraid to ask the question. I know someone recently, they said, well, we read something and read it online, read something, and ran away. Wouldn't tell anybody what they found. And I thought, how sad. If you found out something that I needed to know, why wouldn't you stick around and tell me? Or why wouldn't you ask your pastor or someone you trust or someone you know? Why wouldn't you ask your parents? Why wouldn't you ask somebody, hey, I found this. I don't understand this. And there are lots of things that happen in Brother Branham's ministry. Excuse me. There are lots of things that happen over the years that we don't always understand. We don't always have a clean answer for. And you know what? We probably never will until we get over on the other side. I mean, We don't serve God because we know exactly how many people fell off the bridge. That's not why I'm serving the Lord. I'll tell you, I'm not serving the Lord because we might not know exactly how many people were sitting on the bank of the river when Brother Branham was baptizing in the Ohio River. I'm not in the message because we know exactly how many people were there. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. What matters is that this message, Miles proved it on Sunday when he was up here pointing. This message pointed me to Christ. I'm not in the message because of the message. I serve the Lord because of him. And so I thought, if you have a question about something, why wouldn't you ask? Why would you take the question, run away, run to the hills? I said, we as believers, we're not afraid of the truth. We love the truth. Truth sets us free. So if you have a question, hey, let's ask it. So Brother Branham always did that. He invited, and I'm not saying that you have to write down questions and give them to me. I'm just saying if you ever have one, you're certainly welcome to give it to me or someone you trust. And, you know, sometimes we can answer them publicly. Sometimes we can answer them privately. And Brother Branham did both. Sometimes he referred people to their doctors, and many times when he was out on the road in the campaigns, he referred people to their pastor. He said, that's a question for your pastor. Go ask your pastor that one. Because he was an evangelist on the road and a prophet there. But in his own church, he did this. All of these are in Jeffersonville. All of them. Because he wanted to answer the questions of the people, and he knew that his ministry was unorthodox. It was not the normal. And he was bringing mysteries and things in for the time that were not preached in any other age. They were mysteries being tied together. They were literally loose ends of the Bible, and he's putting them together. And so there was lots of people who had questions. Did you mean this, or did that tie with that? And he always answered them. He never said to people, would you stop asking questions? He never says that. So therefore, I want you to not sit there and puzzle over something and wonder over something. I'm not afraid of anything that anybody would ask. I'm not afraid at all, because if I don't know the answer, I know someone. I got a great database. I don't have AI. I have SI. I don't have artificial intelligence. We have supernatural intelligence. And so therefore, to me, I've never been afraid of somebody who's asked a question. Even if I don't know the answer when they ask it, I've never, ever been afraid, because I know that God always has an answer. And there's other good elders that also have answers. And I know this, that even if we don't know now, give God time, and God will answer every question. He'll untie every knot. He'll solve every riddle. He has a way of making it plain. Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he'll guide you into all truth. He'll lead you to the right path. So you never had to worry or fear about maybe something you don't know. And you never had to be afraid of being uncertain about anything. God's got it. He's got your back. He knows your question even before you ask it. You never need to worry. Let's stand to our feet. Isn't God good? What are we playing? In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, just give me
purchase.
been days when I have failed you. Lord, you know the many times I've gone astray. But I've learned your love is stronger than my weakness. And your ear is open every time I pray.
Nobody has the tender care, the patience, and mercies that are new every day like you. And Lord, we are a people who just want to know how to please you. We want to walk in a way so that you could say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We want to know our place. We want to walk in the light as you've given it to us, Lord. We're not afraid of what the future holds. We're not afraid of what you have called us and commissioned us to do. Because if you told us to do it, we have no fear. We know, Lord, that there's a purpose in it, and you make a way even if we can't see it. So, Lord, we are reminded continually how you love us and how you care. And it's absolutely amazing. May every person here, Lord, as we leave this place, I trust that everyone is maybe a little bit more in love with you, realizing that you condescended to dwell on all these different questions and all these daily, day-to-day issues, Lord. I pray now in Jesus' name that you would bring healing to those who need it, joy to those that are cast down, and peace where there is no peace. Help us, Lord, I pray. Help us to serve you, and may we always be sensitive to your voice. Lead us, Lord, I pray, in your perfect will, and we'll give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. I feel like going on. Sister Jane, God bless you. Good to have you here tonight. I feel like going on. Though trials come, they come on every hand. I feel as you go tonight. God bless you. I feel like going on.
Yes, I feel like going on. I feel like going on. Oh, try.